Hello and welcome to the episode 24 of WaterFab Day. I am your host, Simon Mas. Some early quarryman action, an interview for the American Army, and an aborted film project are some of the highlights of the day. In 1958, the quarrymen returned to perform to the Cavern Club in Liverpool for the second time. Featuring Len Gary on T-chest bass, Eric Griffiths on guitar, Colin Hanton on drums, John Lennon on guitar and voice, and Paul McCartney on guitar and voice, they supported the headliners, the Mercy Jazz Band. In the book The Cavern, owner Alan Sittner is quoted commenting on the poor quality of the performance. "They couldn't play to save their life, and all I can remember is their cheek and their chat." Moving to 1959, we find the quarrymen performing a 10-minute set of skiffle numbers at the Woolton Village Club. For this gig, the quarrymen consisted only of George Harrison, John Lennon, and Paul McCartney, all on guitar and voice. It was a late Christmas party, and the band was probably booked because it was available and local. John Lennon's home in Manlove Avenue was about 15 minutes away by foot. For the quarrymen, this was the last paid gig for the next 8 months. Double feature for the Beatles at the Cavern Club on the 24th of January 1962. The lads, featuring Pete Best on drums, performed a lunchtime and an evening concert in the cellar on Matthew Street, Liverpool. In 1963, the Beatles made a personal appearance at NEMS main Liverpool shop, owned by their manager Brian Epstein, to sign copies of their new single Please Please Me and giving a short acoustic performance on the staircase leading from the ground floor, popular music, to the first floor, classical music, television sets, and radio and recording equipment. Later, they reached the Assembly Hall in Mold, Wales, for an evening engagement that earned them just £50, about £880 in 2020 money, less than what the band earned at the time. On the other hand, the booking had been made in October 1962, and Epstein insisted that the band honor the agreement. The bill also featured Dave Roman and the Chariots. After the gig, George Harrison went to visit his aunt in Broughton, while the rest of the band went to the Talbot pub to grab some food. 1964. In the morning, the Fabs went to a studio in Paris, France, to record the radio interview for the American Forces Network, which would have been aired the next day on a program called Weekend World, for the benefit of American troops in West Germany. Meanwhile, back in the Abbey Road EMI studios in London, sound engineer Norman Smith made a copy of the rhythm track of I Want to Hold Your Hand, which he and George Martin would later bring to Paris. Talking about Paris, in the evening, the Beatles performed their usual two shows at the Olympia Theatre. In 1967, Paul McCartney and Brian Epstein discussed the possibilities for the third Beatles film with playwright Joe Horton. As you might recall from episode 12 of What a Fab Day, Horton had been contacted by producer Walter Shenson to revise the script with the Fab Four in mind. The project, called Up Against It, was undoubtedly different for a pop band film. The four protagonists were actually just four aspects of the personality of a single man, and they'd go on making all kinds of shenanigans, including sexual slavery, murder, and the like. But the script wasn't discussed in details during this meeting, with Paul McCartney mainly getting to know Horton. A contract was drawn, and Horton would go on writing the complete script, which would be delivered on the 25th of February 1967. It was rejected, like other ideas considered by the Beatles at the same time. An adaptation of The Lord of the Rings and another of The Three Musketeers. Let's conclude this episode with yet another Get Back session. On the 24th of January 1969, the Beatles and Billy Preston were in the Apple Studios recording several takes of Two of Us, still called On Our Way Home at this stage, finally settling for a less rock and more folky arrangement. In between takes, the band burst into a 38-second rendition of Maggie May, a traditional song about a Liverpool prostitute. Then, they tried their hands on Teddy Boy, Every Night, Hottest Sun, and Her Majesty. The latter was mostly instrumental, lasting for 2 minutes and featuring John Lennon on slide guitar. John also played slide on his Dig It, perhaps the only piece that at this stage kept changing with every execution. This was by design, though, as the song was built on the premise of the band improvising extensively on a bare-bones sketch, an idea that Lennon was keen to explore at the time in this and other pieces, both with the Beatles and with Yoko Ono. Today's first recorded take of the song was never released, but it generated the final message by John, heard at the end of the heavy edited down version later put on Let It Be. That was Can You Dig It by Georgie Wood. Now we'd like to do Hark the Angels Come. In the evening, without any Beatle in attendance, Glyn Johns had a 90-minute mixing session at the Olympic Sound Studios. There are no recorded details about which songs were mixed down, but the fact that Jones was starting to mix material suggests that everyone knew that the project was coming to fruition. This concludes this episode of What a Fab Day. Please remember to visit www.simonmas.com/support to find ways in which you can show the appreciation for my efforts, including ways that won't cost you a penny. In the episode description, apart from the usual link to the bibliographical Amazon affiliate link list, you will find a link to the complete list of songs tried out during the Get Back project, and a link to the 1964 AFN interview that we talked about in this episode. For the moment, I wish you a good day and a fab continuation. Simon Mas, music you love.